The Lord tells Jeremiah to tell the southern kingdom that he is going to send Nebuchadnezzar to utterly destroy Jerusalem. But when 70 years are completed, the Lord will punish Babylon and bring an end to its kingdom. But sometime after that, all the rulers of the people of Egypt, Uz, the Philistines, even Ashkelon, Gaza, Ekron, and the remnant of Ashdod, plus Edom, Moab, Ammon, Tyre, Sidon, the coastlands which are beyond the sea, Dedan, Tema, Buz, and all who cut the corners of their hair, Arabia, Zimri, Elam, Media, Shishak, the north, near and far, one with another, and all the kingdoms of the earth which are upon the face of the ground, will drink the cup of the Lord when he roars from on high and utters his voice from his holy habitation against all the inhabitants of the earth. Those slain by the Lord on that day will be from one end of the earth to the other. They will not be lamented, they will not be gathered, and they will not be buried. They will be like the dung on the face of the ground. In the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the Lord tells Jeremiah to write everything that he has told him on a scroll from the very first time that he spoke with Jeremiah as a youth. So Jeremiah calls Baruch and dictates the words to him, and Baruch writes them down. Now he tells Baruch that he has been restricted from going over to the temple. So he wants Baruch to go there and to read the scroll to the people on the next day of fasting. Perhaps the people will turn their hearts, Jeremiah says. So Baruch does as Jeremiah asks. When Baruch finishes transcribing all that Jeremiah has spoken to him, Baruch feels like the Lord has added sorrow to his pain. But Jeremiah tells Baruch that even though the Lord will uproot the whole land, the Lord promises Baruch the safety of his life. In the fourth year of Jehoiakim, Pharaoh Necho travels back up to the Euphrates River to a place called Carchemish, and there he is going to attempt with his army to overtake Nebuchadnezzar. However, Nebuchadnezzar defeats him there. Later on, during the reign of Zedekiah, the Lord will remind Jeremiah of Nebuchadnezzar's defeat of Necho there at the Euphrates and use it as an object lesson. In the ninth month of Jehoiakim's fifth year, a special fast is called by the leadership of the country, and Baruch uses that opportunity to go to the temple and read Jeremiah's scroll just as Jeremiah instructed him to do. And all of the people of Judah are in the town, and they hear the message. Jehudi is sent by the officials to get the scroll so they can hear the message. Baruch agrees to read the scroll to them, and when they hear it, fear grips their hearts, and they are afraid. They ask Baruch how he came to write down these words, and Baruch tells them that Jeremiah had dictated those words to him. The officials tell Baruch to hide himself, and they take the scroll and they put it in the office of Elishama. The king sends Jehudi to get the scroll and read it to him. Now it's winter time, and the king is by a fire while it is being read to him. Jehudi reads about three or four columns, and the king takes a knife and cuts the scroll in two and throws it into the fire. He wants Baruch and Jeremiah captured, but the Lord has hid them. The Lord tells Baruch and Jeremiah to rewrite the scroll again, but this time to add the part about Jehoiakim cutting up and burning the first scroll. So Jeremiah is to add that Jehoiakim will not have a descendant on the throne, and he will die, and his body will be cast into the heat of the day and the frost of the night. The second scroll is prepared. Jeremiah reminds Jehoiakim about his brother Shalom, who was actually 2 years younger than Jehoiakim, but was elected to succeed his father Josiah when he was killed by Necho. As we remember, upon Necho's return from his visit with the king of Assyria in 609 BC, Necho removed Shalom, or Jehoaz, from the throne and put him in prison in Riblah. Later, Necho himself took Shalom, or Jehoaz, to Egypt where he died. He was the first king to die in exile. Jeremiah is using that as a story to warn Jehoiakim that his fate will be the same if he does not change his ways. He will die and be given a donkey's burial, dragged off and thrown beyond the gates of Jerusalem. Now Jeremiah also warns Jehoiakim about his son, Coniah, who will be hurled by the Lord into another country, and there he will die. Jeremiah goes on to warn the wicked religious leaders of the southern kingdom that they have scattered the flock, yet one day the Lord will gather them back when he raises up for the house of David a righteous branch. Then the Jews will return to live on their soil. The Lord has seen that the prophets of Jerusalem are as evil as those of Sodom and Gomorrah. The Lord had not sent those prophets to the southern kingdom. If they had spoken the Lord's words, the Lord would have turned back the judgment against the southern kingdom. And because of the sin of the shepherds and of the prophets, the Lord would put an everlasting reproach and an everlasting humiliation on the southern kingdom, which will not be forgiven until they return to him. The whole southern kingdom is facing calamity. Micah has spoken that they will be stripped of their young men and their healthy citizens, all carried off to Babylon in exile. Years before, Micah had foretold these events. He also foretold that those who remained in those cities needed to repent. Those cities have faced their calamity. Their young men have been stripped from their towns, but they do not repent, as Micah foretold. Beginning in 603 BC and lasting throughout the last 3 years of Jehoiakim's life, he becomes increasingly subservient to Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. But then he rebels, and the Babylonian king sends the Chaldeans, the Moabites, the Aramites, the Ammonites, and others to overthrow him. All this occurs because of the sin of Manasseh that the Lord will not forgive. Many years before, Amos had warned the southern kingdom that this time would come and that this king would rebel against the Babylonian king, and fire would come upon them and consume Jerusalem. Over in Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar has a dream, and it troubles him greatly. He calls the magicians, the conjurers, the sorcerers, and Chaldeans to tell him the dream and its interpretation, but they cannot. He's not going to tell them the dream. He wants them to tell him what he had dreamed, and he wants them to help him. And if they cannot help him, he will tear them all into pieces. They tell the king, Nebuchadnezzar, that there is not a man on earth that can tell him the dream. Nebuchadnezzar is absolutely furious, and he sends a declaration that all the wise men of the kingdom are to be killed. Hearing the decree, Daniel carefully asked the captain of the bodyguard, the king's bodyguard, Arioch, why the decree is so urgent, and Daniel asked for time to speak with the king. He tells Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego about the situation, and they all call out to the Lord to reveal the mystery to them. Well, the Lord reveals it to Daniel in a night vision, and he goes to Arioch and gets an appointment with Nebuchadnezzar. Do not destroy the wise men of Babylon, Arioch. Take me to the king's presence, he says, and I will declare the interpretation to the king. So Arioch rushes Daniel into the king. You, O king, were looking, and behold, there was a single great statue standing in front of you, and its appearance was awesome. The head of that statue was made of fine gold, its breast and its arms of silver, its belly and its thigh of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. You continued looking until you saw a stone that was cut without hands, and it struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and crushed them. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed all at the same time and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away so that not a trace of them was found. But the stone that struck the statue became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. You, O King Nebuchadnezzar, are the head of gold. After you there will arise another kingdom inferior to you, then another third kingdom of bronze, which will rule over all the earth. Then there will be a fourth kingdom as strong as iron, inasmuch as iron crushes and shatters all things. So, like iron that breaks in pieces, it will crush and break all in pieces. The feet and toes, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, will be a divided kingdom. but will have in it the toughness of iron with common clay. As for the toes of the feet, being partly of iron and partly of pottery, so some of the kingdoms will be strong, and part of it will be brittle. They will combine with one another in the seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another, even as iron does not combine with pottery. And in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set upon a kingdom which will never be destroyed, and that kingdom will not be left for another people. It will crush and put to an end all these kingdoms, but it will ensure itself forever. The stone that was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that crushed the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, is the great God who made known to the king what will take place in the future. So the dream is true, and its interpretation is trustworthy. Nebuchadnezzar falls on his face, and he pays homage to Daniel, and he gives orders to present him with an offering and fragrant incense. He says to Daniel, "Surely your God is a God of gods, and a Lord of kings, and a revealer of mysteries, since you have been able to reveal this mystery." The king promotes Daniel and gives him many great gifts, and he makes him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and over all the wise men of Babylon. So Daniel also asks the king if he will appoint Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as administrators over all the provinces of Babylon while Daniel is at the king's court, and Nebuchadnezzar agrees. With the death of Jehoiakim in 597 BC, Coniah, also known as Jehoiachin, takes his father's throne at the age of 8, and he rules for 3 months. It is Nebuchadnezzar's 8th year as king. At the last of Jehoiachin's 3rd month, Nebuchadnezzar returns to the southern kingdom, and he takes all the treasury of the temple to the treasury of Babylon. He leads all the exiles away to Babylon along with Jehoiachin and his family. Nebuchadnezzar makes Jehoiachin's uncle the king. His name is Mathaniah, but Nebuchadnezzar changes his name to Zedekiah. He is evil, and he rules for 11 years. The Lord then shows Jeremiah 2 baskets of figs sitting in front of the temple. One has good fruit in it, and the other bad. The good figs represent the captives taken into Babylon from Judah, and the Lord will take care of them. The bad figs represent Zedekiah and his officials who remain in Jerusalem, and those who have gone to Egypt. They will be cursed and die by the sword, famine, and pestilence. Well, in that first year of Zedekiah's reign in 597 BC, the Lord says to Jeremiah, "Make for yourself bonds and a yoke and put them on your neck, and send word to the king of Edom, to the king of Moab, to the king of the sons of Ammon, to the king of Tyre, to the king of Sidon, and by the messengers who all come to Jerusalem to Zedekiah the king, and command them to go to their master, saying, 'I have made the earth, the men and the beast which are on the face of the earth, by my great power and by my outstretched arm, and I will give it to the one who is pleasing in my sight.' Now I have given all these lands into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, my servant, and I have given him all the wild animals of the field to serve him. All the nations shall serve him. It will be that the nations of the kingdoms which will not serve Nebuchadnezzar, and which will not put its neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, they will die. Why will they die? You and your people, by the sword, by the famine, by the pestilence, as the Lord has spoken to the nations which will not serve the king of Babylon? You will surely die because you are listening to false prophets. Do not listen to those prophets who tell you that they are prophesying, saying, 'Behold, the vessels of the Lord's house will shortly be brought back from Babylon.' They are prophesying a lie to you. The Lord says through Jeremiah concerning the pillars, concerning the sea, concerning the stands, concerning the rest of the vessels that are left in Jerusalem and in the temple. Nebuchadnezzar is going to come, and he's going to carry them off also, just as he carried Jeconiah or Jehoiachin to exile in Babylon. They will be carried away to Babylon, and they will be there until the day I visit them, declares the Lord. and then I will bring them back and restore them to this place. In the fourth year of the reign of Zedekiah, in the fifth month, Hananiah the prophet stands in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priest, and in the presence of all the people, and he says, "Thus saith the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 years I am going to bring back to this place all the vessels of the Lord's house, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried to Babylon. I am going to bring back to this place Coniah, or Jehoiachin, king of Judah, and all the exiles of Judah who went to Babylon, declares the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon." Well, the prophet Jeremiah spoke up to Hananiah in the presence of the priest and all the people who were standing around, and he said, "Amen, amen, may the Lord do so. May the Lord confirm your words which you have prophesied to bring back the vessels of the Lord's house and all the exiles from Babylon to this place." But Jeremiah goes on to say, "Yet hear now the word which I am about to speak to you in the hearing, and in the hearing of all the people. The prophets who were before you and before me from the ancient times, they prophesied against many lands and against many great kingdoms, of wars and of calamities and of pestilence. The prophet who prophesies of peace, when the word of the prophet comes to pass, then that prophet will be known as one whom the Lord has truly sent." So Hananiah takes the yoke from the neck of Jeremiah and he breaks it. And he says to all the people, "Thus says the Lord, even so I will break within 2 full years the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar from the neck of all the nations." Then Jeremiah went his way. And the Lord came to Jeremiah and told him to go back to Hananiah and to tell him this: "Go and speak to Hananiah, saying, Thus says the Lord, you have broken the yokes of wood, but you have made instead of them yokes of iron. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron on the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon." Then Jeremiah says to Hananiah, "Listen now. The Lord has not sent you, and you have made this people trust in a lie. The Lord says, Thus says the Lord, behold, I am about to remove you from the face of the earth. This year you are going to die because you have counseled rebellion against the Lord." So Hananiah the prophet died that same year in the seventh month. Now these are the words of the letter which Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem over to the rest of the exiles and the priests and the prophets that are all under Nebuchadnezzar over in Babylon. "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and become the fathers of sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, and multiply there and do not decrease. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord for its good on its behalf. For in its welfare you too will have welfare. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Then I will bring you back from exile."